What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Logos Kingdom. Excited to have you here today and excited about the topic we're going to be talking about today. Today, we're going to be talking about tithing and the concept of the whole prosperity gospel. So we're going to be diving into this and really just going through it through what the word says. And I know throughout the years, a lot of us have had different teaching about tithing, and some of it has been good. Some of it has not been exactly biblical. And I'm just excited to be able to get into this. This is something that I struggled with as a new believer, just understanding the concept of tithing, because I grew up Catholic, so we always gave a little bit into the bucket here and there. But when I became a born-again believer and started getting into the word more, and I kept coming across the tithe and just understanding what it means and what it doesn't mean and what we've been taught it means. And really, I'm excited to go through the word with you guys here today, because I pray that this will be something that will give you guys a lot of breakthrough, because I know it has for me, just being able to get a lot of revelation over the years in terms of the idea and the understanding of tithing and giving biblically according to the word of God. So let's get started with that. We'll start off our conversation about the tithe. Let's go back into the word of God and see the first instance of where the term tithe was mentioned. To give you a little context of where we're at this point, we're catching up with Abram after he's left his family. God told him to leave his family and take him and his wife and go into the land that God had promised for him. Now, Abram took his nephew Lot with him as he left. He didn't leave his family completely the way God instructed. He took Sarai, and they left, and they took Lot with them. So as they journeyed together, they came up into the valleys, and essentially at this point, Lot decided to settle in. He settled into the land of Sodom, and then during that season while he was there, a war broke out between the king of Sodom and some other kings in the area, and Lot ended up being taken hostage by one of the kings after they took over Sodom. So that's kind of the context, a little bit of where this verse lays in. So Abram, once he finds out from one of his neighbors that Lot has been kidnapped, has been taken captive, Abram takes his servants, he takes about 300 servants of him that are trained, and they go into battle to fight against the kings that have kidnapped Lot. And they come out victorious, and not just victorious, they absolutely slaughter these kings. They totally slaughter them. So this is the context. So now Abram is coming back. He's got Lot, and he's got the spoils of war with him, basically, right? So this is where we're picking up with this verse. And this is the first instance where the term tithe is mentioned. Genesis 14, verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. So this is the first time that we're seeing the term tithe mentioned in the word of God. And it's coming about because if you're going back into the context here, Abram gave tithes to Melchizedek. And why did he give tithes to Melchizedek? He gave tithes to Melchizedek because Melchizedek started praising God. When he saw Abram come back, he said, "Blessed be Abram of God, and blessed be the Most High God who delivered Abram," right? And as Abram was hearing these blessings, it reminded him, it brought him back into that joyful, grateful presence where he was like, "Praise God for delivering us, me and my servants, from the hands of our enemies, and praise God for delivering us and bringing Lot back into our hands. And because of this, because God has been so good to me, out of my thankfulness, I'm going to give a tithe of all my spoils." That's the idea of the original tithe. The concept of tithing wasn't just the 10%, the way that we talk about it today. It's kind of been almost like broken down too simply into just the 10%. The idea of it was the heart with which Abram gave that. That was what stirred up in his heart after he heard the praises to God from Melchizedek for the deliverance that God had given to him and Lot, and giving them that victory, that slaughter, that dominating victory over the kings that had taken Lot. So the tithe was Abram's decision, not God's decision. Abram was the one that set that amount. A lot of times people say God said. Now we'll talk about this. We'll talk about this here as we move forward, because we're going to get into a little bit more scripture, because it did become set, because later on in the scripture, Jacob gave a tenth after he saw the ladder to heaven. He gave a tenth. He gave a tithe, because that's what Abram had established. And down in Leviticus, moving forward, as God started giving the law, he started giving out the law, there are some scriptures where he says a tenth of the grain shall be given unto me. And it talks about, even with the priests, with the Levites, a tenth of the tithes and offerings that were brought into the house of God. So the scripture did ingrain the tithe into the law. This is the Levitical law. This is the old covenant law. So the tithe became ingrained into it, but the original intent started. It started with Abraham. Abram. It started with Abram deciding in his heart, because he was just so grateful for the deliverance that God has given him, that he gave a tenth of all his spoils. And that's what kind of led to the tithe as we know it today. Now, even prior to Abram, we can see that God was pleased when we gave offerings to him. Going back into scripture here in Genesis 4, Cain and Abel also brought offerings to the Lord. And we'll look at here, Genesis 4, verse 3. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flocks and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thou countenance fallest? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So you can see, even back with Cain and Abel, God was still accepted offerings. God wasn't against giving. He encourages us to be cheerful givers. He encourages us to give, but the idea of a percentage, the idea of just a set amount that God wants you to give, that's where we took the tithe that started with Abram and his joyful giving out of his abundance, and we've now kind of diluted that into, this is what everybody must do. This is what the church has now kind of come into, is that everybody has to give a tenth, and that concept wasn't the original intent. Now, a lot of times with the teachings that we hear today when it comes to the tithe, we tie the tithe to, if you don't give, you won't be blessed, right? If you don't give, you won't get anything from God. And that's where a lot of the more incorrect teaching kind of stems up, in the sense of, I mean, you've heard it called the prosperity gospel, but it's really the idea of just giving to get. Right? You're giving in order so that God can bless you. And the intention, your heart of giving, is to get blessed. You're giving to get a blessing. And that's not proper. That's not the heart of the tithe. That's not the heart of giving that God loves. And let's kind of look into it here, because with Abram, even before he gave the tithe, this is prior to the tithe, even before he gave the tithe, God had already blessed him. God was already blessing him even before he tithed. And let's look at the scripture here. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So this is Abram. This is the initial calling that we had talked about earlier. This is God calling Abram to leave his home country and go into the land and become the and receive the full blessing, become the nation that God had intended for him to become. So God has already spoken this blessing over Abram prior to him tithing. Continuing down here in scripture, we'll look again here in verse 16. Now, the context of verse 16, Abram and Sarai left the homeland and went into Egypt because there was a famine in the land. And basically, they were in Egypt to try and avoid the famine. But while they were there, Abram told Sarai to tell anybody that asks that she is his sister and not his wife. Now, the reason he was doing this is because if they found out that she was his wife, they would just kill him, right? His belief is that they would just kill him and take her and put him into Pharaoh's harem. So he said, tell anybody that asks you that you are my sister, and that way things will be good for me. So because they did this, the Egyptians treated Abram and they blessed Abram and Sarai a lot because they wanted to please Sarai so she could be with Pharaoh. So look in here in verse 16, and Pharaoh entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. So the asses obviously are donkeys. So he gave him a ton, right? He gave him a ton just to be pleasing to Sarai, even though he didn't do it the proper way. Right? Abram didn't tell the full truth of this, of the matter. He was blessed by the Egyptians. So he had abundance. And moving forward here into chapter 13, and we can see, and Abram went out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. So coming out of all this, this is even before he tithed, before he even gave anything to God. So coming out of all of this, Abram was already, I mean, I guess if you just want to look at it in the sense of having things, he was already blessed. He had a lot. He was very rich. He was already prosperous. And this is before he had even tithed. So the idea that we give the tithe so that God can bless us, the idea that we give in order to get from God is not proper, right? It's not biblical, because the giving that Abram did, going back again to when he had that rescue of Lot and he came back and gave the tithe, was out of thankfulness. It was out of a generous, a joyful heart. It was out of a generous spirit. Right? Not out of a spirit of getting. Now, the Word of God talks again about the heart with which we're supposed to give, the intention of it. It should not be to get something from God. Now, let's look at the scripture here in 2 Corinthians 9. But this I say, this is verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows abundantly will reap abundantly. But we are reaping these if we're giving, right? What does the scripture say here in verse 7? If we're giving as he purposes in his heart. As he purposes in his heart. This is the same way that Abram gave that initial tenth. It was in his heart. It stirred him up because he was receiving so much thankfulness and gratitude for the things that God had done. He was walking in that so much. He was so grateful to God for what he had done for him that it stirred up in him. It purposed in his heart to give that tenth. Right? So Abram gave that. It wasn't a percentage that God was like, you must give me 10% of this bountiful that I've given you from, you know, the raid of the kings. No, God never told Abram an amount to give. This was what stirred up in Abram's heart. So he gave out of the abundance of his heart, and he didn't give grudgingly. He didn't give out of necessity. So this idea that you have to give 10%, a lot of times people almost feel like they're, like handcuffed, right? In a way, it's like, so I've even asked the question myself, was like, can I give more than 10%? You know, can I give less than 10%, right? Because sometimes, you know, things might be tough or whatever, and you just feel like, oh, the number, that 10%, that percentage, God doesn't care about that percentage, right? What does he say here? He says, out of your heart, right? What stirs up, not grudgingly or out of necessity, but what you purpose in your heart, because he loves a cheerful giver. So if you're giving and in your heart, you're just like, I really could use this for that, but here you go, God. You know, you're not cheerful. You're not happy in your giving. You're not excited. You're not thankful in your giving. That's not the kind of giving that God wants, but that's the kind of giving that a lot of people have heard preached and taught to them coming up when it comes to tithes, right? So it's just something that as you get into the Word and actually see the context of these things, it's amazing how much gets revealed to you in the understanding of the heart of giving as opposed to the amount and the percentage. Now let's look again, and this is Jesus talking about this heart of giving. We're going to look here at Mark 12, verses 41. Now Jesus sat opposite of the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Now, Jesus shows here in the scripture that it's not about the percentage. It's not about the amounts. Now, a lot of times people will say, oh, the widow, because she gave all of it, right? Because she gave all of it, she gave a bigger percentage than the rich ones. But it's really talking about the heart, right? Because the rich people, they put the money in there. They put in all who have given into the treasury. They've put it out of their abundance. Their heart isn't set on the things of God. It's set, this is extra money, right? This is extra money that we have. Our heart isn't truly set, isn't truly devoted into the things of God, because if I have it anyway, right? But the widow, her heart was truly set on God because she cared. She wanted to give so much, even though it was her last bit. Her heart was a giver's heart. It's easy to give when you have a ton, right? You don't really have to have a giver's heart to give when you have a lot. But when you don't have much, that's when your true heart gets revealed, right? When it's hard for you to get by, but you're still giving anyway, you're showing your heart. You're showing that you're giving out of the abundance of the heart. She wanted to be involved in the things of God. It wasn't just like a secondhand thing. Oh, I have extra. Let me give to God. She gave because even though she didn't fully have it all, she gave what she had. And that heart, that beautiful heart for the things of God, is what caused Jesus to call his disciples over to really pause, to pause everything and be like, hey, look at this. Look at this. Look at the heart that this woman has for the things of God. Now, a lot of times when we hear about tithing, or, you know, when you go to church and you hear tithing preached, 9 times out of 10, right, they're going to talk about it through Malachi, the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 8. And we're going to read into it here. But this is the scripture that the majority of the tithing lessons or the giving lessons are based off of. So let's read it. Let's read what the scripture says here. Malachi 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So that's Malachi 3, verses 8 through 12. And for me, growing up in my faith and, you know, being in church, listening to sermons, every single time that it came to talking about giving and tithing, this is a scripture that almost every preacher hits on, right? Because it's one of the few places outside of Leviticus, outside of I believe in Chronicles, back in the old Levitical law, as God was giving the children of Israel the laws to follow through Moses. Outside of that, this is one of the few other places where tithes is hit on pretty prominently, right? So this is used to teach us that, hey, if you don't give, the devourer won't be rebuked for your sake, right? If you don't give, you'll be cursed, right? And that's some of the teaching that is used, to where I get the idea. It's like, yeah, it is important to give, but it almost puts you in a place where you're coerced to give, right? Because I don't want to be cursed. I don't want to be cursed with a curse. So I'm going to give my tithe. I'm going to give that 10%, right? I don't want the devourer to not be rebuked for my sake. So I'm going to give that 10%. But as we dig into the word here, let's put this scripture into context, right? So Malachi, who was Malachi? Malachi was a prophet, right? He was a prophet sent by God to go and deliver this message to the priests. This message that it's getting quoted at Malachi 3, this was a message to the priests. And to put it in frame here, basically what was going on is that the priests of God, the Levites, were not living up to godly standards. They were not living righteously. They were not living as good examples of God. So at this time, these priests, these Levites, were very irreverent. They didn't care about the things of God, right? They would give sacrifices that weren't holy. They would commit adultery. They would steal from the temple. They were very just corrupt priests. They were terrible priests, and they were shining a bad light on the Lord because they were supposed to be the representatives of God, but yet they were committing adultery, but yet they were stealing, but yet they were speaking wrong, right? They're speaking wrong things about God and not being the sources of truth for God, right? So there was a lot going on that was wrong. And God sent Malachi as a prophet to bring correction, to deliver his word of correction to these priests. And that's who this is talking to. That's who Malachi 3 is talking to. It's talking to these corrupt priests. Now, at this time with this Levitical priesthood, the way that it worked is that the people, the nation, would bring their tithes and offerings into the temple of God. They would bring their tithes and offerings into the house of God. And the priests would take those offerings. And essentially what they would do is the priests were supposed to give a tenth off of the offerings as well, right? So going back again into that Levitical law. So we've gone from Abram, who gave that tithe out of the abundance of his heart. And now we've come through Leviticus, we've come through Chronicles, so we've come through these seasons where God has now established the tithe into the law as a way to continue to keep the children of Israel giving, right? Because by nature, we're not righteous. By nature, we wouldn't give. We'd be selfish. So he put in the law for them to give a tithe off of their harvest, off of their first fruits, off of those things, right? So this was put into the law up at this point. So now, as a part of the law, the priests who were meant to be God's standard bearer of the law were now told that when the people bring in the tithes and offerings into the house of God, the priests themselves are supposed to give an offering off of that tithe as well. And we can see this highlighted here in Numbers 18, verse 25. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak thus to the Levites, and say to them, when you take from the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them as your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it to the Lord, a tenth of the tithe, and your heave offering shall be reckoned to you as though it were the grain of the threshing floor and as the fullness of the winepress." So the priests themselves were to give an offering off of that. They were to give a tenth off of the tithes and offering that were brought into the house of God, right? So Malachi 3, what he's talking about here in verse 9, let's take a look at it here. "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." So the priests have been robbing God by not giving of what they need to give off of the tithes that have been brought in by the nation. So they've been robbing God in tithes and offerings, right? "Bring all the tithes," this is verse 10, "bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." So God is telling these priests, these Levites, stop stealing from me. Give me the offering that's due to me, right? And I will open up the windows of heaven and bring blessings upon you. So Malachi 3 wasn't speaking to us as new covenant believers. Malachi 3 was a lesson for us to learn from these priests. God was telling these priests, if you trust me, if you'll trust me and come back to me and fully give the way that you're supposed to, right? Because they're still under the law. They're still under that Levitical law that says that the priest has to give off of the tithe that's brought into the house. So if God is telling them, come back to my law, come back and do things the way that I told you to do them. And if you will do them, if you'll put your trust in me and do it, instead of trying to do it your own way by stealing, then I will open up the windows of heaven and I will bless you, right? Because at this point, they were being cursed, right? "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation," right? So these priests were under a curse because they were stealing from God. Now for us as new covenant believers, the cross of Jesus Christ bears so much weight. It's the most important thing, right? And that's how we rightfully divide the word of God, is through the cross of Jesus Christ, because that cross, when Jesus came and died on that cross, he bore the full wrath of God. He fulfilled the Levitical law. So he fulfilled us. He delivered us from the curse of the law, because the law isn't meant to be a blessing. The Levitical law that these people were put under was meant to essentially bring them to the end of themselves, right? It was to bring them to the end of themselves to realize that they need a savior, that they need Jesus, that they can't uphold the law on their own. So the cross of Jesus Christ, when it came, it fulfilled the law, but he also, by dying on the cross, Jesus Christ bore the curses for us, And let's look at the scripture here that says that. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he became a curse. He became cursed and bore the full wrath. He bore the curses. He redeemed us from the curse, right? So he redeemed us from the law. He fulfilled the law and redeemed us from the curse. So if you're looking at Malachi 3 and you're saying to a born again believer, a believer in Jesus Christ who's born and covered in the blood of Jesus through the cross, if you're saying to them that if you don't tithe, you're going to be cursed, right? That God will curse you if you don't tithe, then if God can come and curse you through the blood of Jesus, through the cross and curse you, then that means that the cross didn't fully fulfill everything that it was supposed to. And that's heavy. That's heavy, because if you're saying that the blood of Jesus, the cross of Jesus wasn't enough to fulfill everything, then our salvation comes in question. A lot of different things come in question. But if that cross, that blood of Jesus, that sacrifice that he made on the cross was perfect, was full, was complete, he became a curse for us. He delivers us from a curse of the law. If that is truth, then there's no way that you can apply Malachi 3 to a born-again believer and say that you'll be cursed if you don't tithe. But that's how a lot of teaching comes about, is that they say, hey, if you don't tithe, you're going to be cursed. So what I've been seeing as I've gone through this study, and I hope you're getting this. I hope this is connecting with you. And what I encourage you to do is get into the Word for yourself. Dig into the Word yourself and look through these. Read these scriptures for yourself and connect the dots for yourself. We shouldn't just take what we hear from preachers, right? You shouldn't just take what somebody says for granted. Go in there and read it for yourself, because the Word of God is powerful, and it will reveal these truths to you, and God will communicate to you through the Word. That's the number one way that he speaks to you, is through the Word. So take that time and get into the Word yourself. So as I've gone through and studied the scripture for myself, what I've seen is that we've really fallen far away from the original heart and intent of the tithe. When Abram gave that tithe, when he gave that, it came from a place of just thankfulness and gratefulness to God for delivering him and giving him that victory over these kings. It came from a place of praise and thanksgiving, and it was a joyful heart, right? But now, as we kind of move further and further away, as the law has come into places, people have started kind of taking scriptures and not fully breaking them down in context, not fully explaining the full extent of it, and not intentionally. And I don't know people's hearts. I don't know, you know, maybe just out of whatever they knew, not fully breaking it out and communicating the context of these things and putting it through the cross of Jesus, putting it through the covering of the blood of Jesus, right? Being able to put things in context, because the cross of Jesus is crucial. That cross is tremendous. It's not just a fancy necklace that you wear, right? It's not just a piece of jewelry. It's something that has meaning and power to it. And you really need to understand and seek that out yourself. But as I've studied this, I've seen that I don't know what the true intention of it has been, but it's almost become deceptive in terms of this teaching of giving, right? Because I would say not even teaching of giving, because we're not teaching giving a lot of times. We call it giving, but a lot of times we're teaching tithing, but we're teaching tithing from a legalistic perspective. We're teaching tithing from the law. So a lot of people that are born again, that are free believers, have been taught the law. They've been put under the boundaries, under the foot of the law, because they're giving a percentage. They're focused on the percentage so much that their heart is so far away from God. And a lot of it too, some people will come in and they're focused on giving. They give because they want to receive, right? That's the idea, like we talked about. This idea of prosperity is people come in with the wrong thought on prosperity, because prosperity goes beyond just money. Prosperity is health. Prosperity is peace. Prosperity is unity, is love. There's so much more when you say the term prosper. It's such a robust word that it goes beyond just money, but we've kind of condensed it because money is the thing that we think about most in this world. We're so caught up with the money that when we hear prosperity and we see that God will help us prosper, we tie it directly to money and we say, okay, how can I use God to get money? That's not correct. My friends, that's horrible. We don't use God to get money. Money is a byproduct of us walking with God. God will cause money to flow, just like the disciples when they were fishing, when they hadn't caught anything, they were in the presence of Jesus, and the fish were flocking towards Jesus. They came to the Lord, right? They came to God, and because they were in the presence of the Lord, they were blessed with the abundance of fish. So when you're seeking God, when you seek the Lord, when you seek the source, when you seek the Father, not just the benefits of the Father, right? A lot of people have become Christians because they're like, oh, if I seek God, if I give this money, I'll be able to get a return on my investment. That's not faith. That's not walking with the Lord. That's using God as a slot machine. And that is not biblical at all. So hope this helps you guys out. I know I got a little bit intense in that, but this just fires me up. So hope you enjoyed the lesson today, and I will see you next time right here on the Logos Kingdom. Take it easy.